Well, hopefully you're able to enjoy your lunch and the first few minutes of our service this afternoon. I want to begin by mentioning three different things that happened to me not long ago. I guess there's no reason to look over at this side of the building, is there? I looked over there and didn't see anyone, so I guess I'll say it over here. Look this way. But don't be surprised if I go over there, but those are my imaginary friends over there, too. You know, again, I'm going to start by just mentioning three things that actually caused me to develop a lesson on this idea. The first one, again, this was a while back, and I was visiting with a family of the church. They were disappointed. They were upset, whatever words you might want to use, about some things that had transpired, about some of the things, how they'd been handled, and, were contemplating whether to become members or stay members or do what. And, some of the things they had to say were legitimate concerns without question. Some of the things, I'll just use the word, were probably overreactions or things that they perceived to be a certain way that weren't necessarily that way. But anyway, I had that visit and, in some ways a pleasant visit, at the same time one that was disappointing as well. And then I had a second thing, and again, we're going to get to the point of where we're going with this. But the second thing that happened was I was reading an article on a Kansas City Royals baseball game. Several of you have probably read a few articles along the way. This was talking about a game that the Royals had won. It was talking about a particular pitcher that had pitched that day. And there was a phrase in that article that caught my attention. It talked about how he was channeling perceived slights since high school to help him, to motivate him to do well. And you probably have an idea what that means. Ever since high school, there had been those who said you weren't good enough to do this, you weren't good enough to do that. Obviously, if he was in the major leagues, he was always pretty good. But sometimes even the best are the ones who catch the attention of people. And they say, okay, well, you're good, but you're not really good enough to make it in college. You're not really good enough to make it in the pros. So apparently he had heard these messages over the years and continued to kind of remember those. And so he was channeling these perceived slights since high school to help him do well at the pro level. Well, I read that and it kind of caught my attention, but I didn't think that much about it. And then I believe within a week, I was reading the funny papers. And it's kind of interesting sometimes what the comics will actually teach you. And so most of you have probably read Blondie before. Blondie and Dagwood are friends. I was looking for it to be able to kind of tell it to you directly. I'll kind of give you some roundabout words, the way I remember it at least. So as you know, Dagwood has a friend, Herb. Herb's his next door neighbor, and they talk across the fence on a regular basis. And so they were out there, and Herb says to Dagwood, along the lines of, well, I know you were thinking about moving one time. Are you still thinking about moving? And he says, we're pretty well set. We're not going to be moving. And so Herb says to him, well, was it because of me? And he said, no, it had nothing to do with you. And the next one shows Herb in his living room. Now he's upset. And his wife's like, well, aren't you glad they're not moving? He said, no. Now, I don't know if you picked up yet on why he was upset. Of course, what was he wanting? What was Herb wanting?
Tools.
Say that again. Well, he's more tools. If you know the strip, that's what he wanted probably. But what he was kind of wanting was, here was his friend Dagwood. He wanted his friend Dagwood to tell him, no, I wouldn't leave. You're such a good friend. Kind of to egg up his ego and tell him what a great guy he was. And when he kind of gave him that opening, what'd Dagwood say? Dagwood said, no, it had nothing to do with you. And so then he's in his living room upset because Dagwood hadn't given him the credit that he wanted. You know, and for whatever reason, when I read that article, it kind of dawned on me the idea of perceived slights. You know, when I was visiting with that family from the church, what were they feeling? They'd been slighted in certain ways. And for right now, I'm going to continue to use the word perceived slights. They'd had some perceived slights. And along the way, here was the pitcher of the Royals talking about being the perceived slights that he had. And boy, Dagwood, he had a perceived slight too, that he just didn't get, or actually Herb. Herb didn't get the credit from Dagwood that he wanted. You know, and it got me thinking a little bit. The Bible never uses the word slights. The Bible never used the word perceived slights. One of the words that would be related would be offend. And to me, if you offend someone, it probably is a little bit more serious. But what happens with perceived slights? Do you feel offended? So we're taking the biblical idea. We may not be using the exact phrase, but to me it's a similar idea. And the more I got to thinking about it, the more I realized, in a sense, if you take your everyday life and if you take your church life, how many times have people had perceived slights? A lot more than we might think about. And so that's kind of where we're headed with this. Now, it seems to me we've got, in the audience today, almost all of you are of a pretty good age. With younger people, they may not really, if they hear the word slight, they may not know exactly what slight is. I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of a definition. Of course, one of the ways we use the word slight is, if the chances of rain tomorrow are 10%, would we say there's a slight chance of rain tomorrow? That's the way it's probably used the most. Again, as you know, those of us who are older realize the word slight can also be the feeling that we may have from something. So let me just give you a couple of examples as I looked in the dictionary, or at least online for some things. To offend or insult someone was one definition or example, and that is to treat them with disrespect. Another was to treat as slight or unimportant. If you make light of someone, you are treating them as slight or unimportant. To treat with disdain or indifference, that would be to slight a guest, would be an example. Or to perform or attend to carelessly and inadequately, and that would be slighting your work. Don't slight your work. So those are some of the ideas of what we're talking about this. And again, the more I thought about it, the more I realized how this affects your life, my life, the life of the church. Some people feel slighted a lot. I don't know about you. You, in the last week, you may have felt slighted one time. Some people feel slighted almost every day. They feel slighted about something. Some people may not feel slighted very often. They may feel slighted once a month or so. I can guarantee you that all of us have felt slighted at some point in our life. Do you think marriages are split apart at times because a spouse feels slighted? Now, it may not just be one time, but a buildup of just feeling slighted about this or that destroys a marriage. Have friendships been destroyed over being slighted? I mean, Dagwood and Herb apparently are still friends, but he felt slighted when he didn't get the credit that he wanted. You know, do you think the devil puts in overtime to try to get you to feel slighted and to try to make you feel worse and worse about it and worse about that person that may have happened? So the thing is, all of us will be slighted at times. All of us will feel it. And none of us really want to try to diminish anybody else's feelings about it. But I think one of the valuable things we can have is, as the little time passes and we're able to look at it a little bit more objectively, hopefully we are able to step back and think about it. Was that a real slight? Was that a perceived slight to me, or was it a real slight? Considering along those lines. As we continue on with this, let's look at a couple of passages in the Bible. They wouldn't really, again, they don't use the word slight, but I'm going to go to James chapter 3. I was there this morning. Bill read the chapter for us this morning. And as he started it, this is toward the beginning. We focused in our lesson more on verses 13 to 17. But in James chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Now here, this used the word stumble. I had actually used the word offend. For in many things we offend all. The New King James says stumble, and usually in my notes, I was thinking I'd got this from the New King James, but whether you have the Old King James or one of them has used the word offend, it's the same idea. If we offend, we cause someone to stumble. If we offend, that we certainly would have we've slighted an individual as well. Okay? I'm not going to turn to Proverbs 18:19, but listen to this. I appreciate this one. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now again, we've used the idea that to be slighted, many of us feel slighted at different times, and that may not rise to the level of full offense, but as you continue on with it, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. It's harder to bring them back once they've truly been offended. Of course, you're familiar very much with Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, when Peter comes and says to him, "Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And the Lord, of course, responds. I mean, Peter, of course, at first had asked about 70 times, and he had said 70 times 7. Let's get into this a little more, and I'll make it more personal at the moment. For me, in general, I haven't felt slighted tons in my life. Having said that, I mean, if you think about it over the course of a year, I don't really feel slighted all that often. But probably I'll feel slighted about something once a month. But usually if I do feel slighted about something, I probably forgot about it the next day. It's not something that really, really bothers me. I mean, most of us probably feel it at times, but then within a day or two, it slides off our back. Have there been some things in my life that didn't slide off my back within a day? Some things have continued to bother me. Probably the times that have been the most is when we're kind of in an emotional situation, where we've had the loss of a loved one, maybe. If you had the loss of a loved one, sometimes you may feel like certain people didn't respond the way you wanted them to, or something of a similar nature, very serious to us. I won't go into real specifics in my own life, but I've had one or two times in my life that I've gone through some major challenges. All of us have gone through some major challenges. And of the times in my life that I've felt slighted, those are probably the ones that would be the times that stuck with me the most. Now, having said that, I mean, for me, I'll still on occasion remember some of those times. Do I remember them especially positively, especially negatively? No, I don't remember them especially negatively, but I mean, they still rise up within me at times. And I would imagine that all of us have some situations. You know, the Bible teaches us to forgive, and we can. I think you can forgive, but that doesn't mean that things still don't at least appear in your mind on occasion. As I said, with me, it's not a matter of feeling them especially badly, but yet they may bother us a little bit. So again, my point is, one of the reasons I think a lesson like this is valuable for all of us, while some may not feel slighted as much, you felt slighted in life. And the thing is, often, especially if you're in any position of leadership, but whether you're in leadership or just a friend of somebody, how often have people talked to you about being slighted by somebody else? They may not use that word, but often you'll end up in conversations with people and they'll be upset with this person or that person. And you sit there and you try to empathize if you can. You try to sympathize with them. You try to care for them. So whether it's you you're talking about, whether it's your wife as you deal in a marriage situation, trying to comfort and support her, whether it's your husband who may feel slighted at work or various situations. So the thing is, it's not just your own life that this affects. I should say it's not just from events of your own life that you deal with this. It is your friends and your neighbors and those you're close to that you try to support too. We might at least talk briefly about a real slight and a perceived slight. Now, as I said earlier, when I use the word perceived slight right now, I would say that every slight is a perceived slight. Even when we've been slighted very, very badly, you could say that was a perceived slight. And I'll go ahead and interject this now. I was kind of thinking about interjecting at the beginning. But you know how on Sunday afternoons, sometimes people have a tendency to be a little tired? You know, if I see anybody today with their eyes starting to close, you know how I'm going to feel? I want to be slighted by that. So you better not let your eyes close, because I'm going to feel slighted. But I think I'll be able to recover. But it's just something to think about. But going back to a more serious thing, I would never want to take something that someone feels slighted about and make it small. If they are slighted about it or feel slighted about it, I need to treat it as serious. But as I mentioned earlier, when we can gain a little bit of perspective, when we can step back and think about our own life, there are times that we have perceived that we've been slighted, that when we really stop and think about it, it really wasn't as big of an issue as we made it at the time. Having said that, there are also other times that truly there was justification to feel slighted about it. Now, how do we handle it? That doesn't mean that just because we had justification in feeling slighted that we are justified in any particular reaction to it. But let's just think about some examples of being slighted as well. I think there's value to that. I mentioned briefly earlier about marriages breaking up at times over this idea. In the home, you've got husbands and wives that can be slighted or at least feel slighted by each other. When you have kids, can kids feel slighted by things the parents do or say? At times, I mean, really at any age, sometimes when parents have gained a perspective of life, the problems that their kids may feel like are major issues. If you as parents kind of like, are like, well, that's not a big deal. Don't worry about that. Well, I mean, kids feel slighted by things that happen all the time. I think parents can feel slighted by their children as well. You think about at school, student-student relationship, teacher-student relationship. I teach. Right now I don't teach full time, but I am a substitute teacher, so I'm still in the classroom a lot. When you're dealing with 25 kids at a time or 30 kids at a time, there are things that when stuff's going on around the room, obviously you go into some rooms, classrooms, and they're perfect. I mean, literally, I mean, they're very quiet, they listen to what you say, and everything goes very, very smoothly. You go into others, and I'm not going to even talk about those that may go badly, but, you know, you go into a normal classroom, there may be a little bit of noise here, a little bit of noise there. Sometimes kids may talk a little bit, and you may make a comment to them. They don't always, they may respond the way you want them to and quiet down, but if you ever had a teacher at some time reprimand you, did you always feel the greatest if a teacher made a comment to you? You may have felt slighted by something they said. Well, she got to do it. Well, he gets to do this. You've probably never heard that before. So it goes on, teacher-student, students to each other. There's lots of issues that go on in a school setting. Often I think it deals with one student feeling slighted about another. In the workplace, if you don't get a raise or you don't get a promotion, have you ever felt slighted in that way before? Certainly many have. Whether you have or not, I don't know. Let's talk in the church a little bit. I'm going to focus on elders. Elders and the idea of being slighted. And think about it going either way. Have you ever felt slighted by something the elders may have done or not done? It may have been something that when you were a member here, some of you have been members of a lot of other places. And whether it's you or just in general, thinking about a church situations in general. I'm using elders for now, and there's a value and there's a reason I'm using elders. You can kind of consider it any leadership position. I use as a teacher or a parent, we've talked about. In all of those cases, when someone is, we'll say, under you, under your authority, are you going to create some ruffled feathers along the way? I don't know if your feathers have ever been ruffled by anything the elders have done or said. I would imagine if you've been a part of the church for 10, 15, 20 years, there's been something that's happened that you weren't necessarily fond of or didn't totally agree. But let's go the other way as well. Do you think elders have ever been felt slighted by the congregation? When they look at the whole congregation as a whole, sometimes they may wish, well, I wish we had more people step up to do this and that. And this is making no comment at all about this congregation or this situation at all. But sometimes you've got congregations of 100 people. And, you know, when it comes to Sunday night or Wednesday night, you may have 20 people that go to regularly on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Is there a sense of, and here I'm using it more of a corporate, a larger thing as opposed to individual, but is there a sense of feeling slighted, maybe as the eldership, how can I get more people involved on a regular basis? That's just one angle. And again, it could be on the more individual side as well. Feeling slighted is not wrong in and of itself. It's how we handle feeling slighted by things. I was not able to be at the two-week meeting 2 years ago. In 2014, there was a two-week meeting in Iowa. And they did a very good job of putting things online. Rick Sparks had spoken one night. He spoke, got the topic here. It was basically about respect. I don't know where the title of it was. Having an attitude of gratitude was the name of it. having an attitude of gratitude. And as I listened online the next day or two, he spent some time about on the eldership. A couple of comments he had made about elders. He said that elders often become elders for one of two reasons. Either they want the power and the authority that comes with the office, or they have a deep love for the Lord, for His church and His people, and they're willing to sacrifice for Him. Now, obviously, we're considering that the majority of elders had the deep love for the Lord and the church, and that's really the point about this. But I think sometimes, and that's the idea I want to present a little bit to the eldership, or regarding eldership right now, is there, and I'm going to go both ways. As elders, is it important to express appreciation to the church, whether publicly or to individual members of the church? I think as elders, it's very important to talk to members of the church, telling them when things happen that they really appreciate, giving them thanks, appreciating what they've done for them. Because otherwise, sometimes people can do things, they may not receive any recognition or thanks for it, and can feel slighted by it. So it's important for eldership to continue to develop the congregation, to have them together and to feeling very good about it, to really appraise and appreciate the people who do things. Now let's reverse that and think about elders themselves. Elders who sacrifice a significant amount of their time. Elders, in this case you have two elders who've been elders for 30 years. I haven't really asked either of you how long, but I was around in 84. I'm not sure if you guys were elders in 1984 or not, but it seems like you've been elders ever since I've come to Gregory at meetings. 92. I don't remember off the top of my head who the elders were in 84, but you guys were both members here in 84, I believe, and have been around for many years. So 1992, that's about 25 years. Well, he's been an elder longer than that. When did you become an elder, Bill? What? 77. So you were definitely an elder in 84. Again, that was the first year I came. I mean, I'd been here before, but not on a regular basis, or not for a 2-week period as I was at the meeting then. But just as I was establishing the importance for elders to appreciate the flock and say things to them so they don't feel slighted, I think it's very, very important for members of a congregation to express appreciation to elderships, for the time they spend, for the ways that they help the group, the people, as Christians. These are things, because again, I think either group, elders, or other members of the congregation can feel slighted, and by expressing these appreciations to each other, it can form a great value. I don't remember if Rick Sparks used some of those same ideas, but as he talked about the eldership and spent some time with it, I appreciated what he said with that and incorporated at least some of that in this lesson as well, because I think there's a great value there. So, again, if you're like me, before I ran across two or three of these events that came together, I hadn't really used the phrase or thought about the idea of perceived slights. But the more that I thought about it at the time, the more I realized that that really affects us. It affects people around us. Even if you're a person who doesn't feel slighted all that often, as you deal with a lot of other people who feel slighted, their problems become your problems. Their feeling slighted becomes yours. And you try to help deal with it as much as you can. It's a very fine line to try to distinguish between perceived slight and real slight. And I'm not going to try in any way, shape, or form to define if you feel slighted. I'm not going to try to define or help you decide what's real or perceived. But I think now, as I'm speaking about it in general, I would encourage you next time you may feel slighted to kind of take a step back and think, is this a real slight? Is this a perceived slight? Is this anything really major? And don't let something that could be fairly minor become major. Too often, people like Dagwood and his neighbor Herb are out there, and they just have a conversation. Did Dagwood have any clue in the world that he had just offended Herb? Herb went back home and he was upset because Dagwood hadn't given him the credit he wanted. But Dagwood's over here feeling fine about things. But Herb's stewing in his own mind about not getting that credit. How often does that happen in life? Way too often than we might want to admit, whether it is in the workplace, whether it is in the church. And so as you go about your daily activities at work or wherever you may be in the coming week, try to make sure that as you're dealing with other people, that you don't just casually say things that may offend. To you it may be casual, to them it may offend. Consider slights, perceived slights, and try to avoid them in terms of how you would react. Consider yourself on the receiving end. Is this really something that is a major issue or something that's a perceived slight that I should forget by tomorrow? And appreciate each other. You know, I use the idea of elders and members, but also as members. You don't have to be an elder. You don't have to be a member. It doesn't have to be either direction there. It can just be to other regular members, because there's many members who have felt slighted by each other as well. Express to each other appreciation for what you do, for what you bring to the congregation, for what the person you are. We talked this morning about from James chapter 3, verse 17, about wisdom that's from above. We talked about how this was not just the theory of wisdom, but it's also about who you want to be, the characteristics and the qualities you have. Wisdom that's from above is pure and peaceable and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If you're a person of that type, you probably won't be slighting other people much. But even then, will people feel slighted at times? Do your best not to slight people. If and when you do slight someone, that they feel that way anyway, apologize. Try to let it slide off your back and let them, hopefully they'll let it slide off theirs. Deal with one another. Love one another. Care for one another. All because of Christ. We talked this morning as one of the passages we had read talked about Christ, and we had referred to that as the wisdom from above. It referred to Christ as the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's a good thing for us to remember as well. As long as we focus on the power of God and the wisdom of God, we're going to feel slighted a lot less. And hopefully that can be something that we can take away from this. As we close our lesson this afternoon, then, we again offer the opportunity for forgiveness and salvation through Christ. If you do believe Jesus is the Son of God and you're not yet a Christian, we invite you to come forward confessing, repenting of your sins, being forgiven, being washed in the waters of baptism for forgiveness, and rise and live a life for Him. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.